start with Scarlett Johansson. Mr. Joss Whedon.
I can't believe it.
Elizabeth Olsen. James Spader. Mark Ruffalo. Chris Hemsworth.
Flash.
Robert Downey Jr. Chris Evans. Jeremy Renner.
Kevin's wearing that fleece because he's been in the editing room and it's cold in there.
So we are going to be throwing the floor open to you guys for you guys to ask some questions. If you have a question, just make sure you have your hand raised. We'll pick you out and somebody will come down and run a microphone to you. We're going to start things off here. I actually have a question for Cody to start things off here. Maria Hill is one of my favorite characters in the MCU because she's one of these threads that ties everything together, both the Avengers, the other MCU films, the television series, brings it all together. Now, Maria went through a lot of a change in Captain America Winter Soldier. Talk a little bit about where we find Maria now and the kind of Maria Hill you wanted the audiences to see in Age of Ultron.
Maria is now under the employment of Tony Stark, and she's now working with him to privatize security, and it's very fun being a thread to be able to tie the TV show and the movies together. That's been a lot of fun. She's got a bigger job now. She's working, like I said, with Tony, and she doesn't have S.H.I.E.L.D. at her disposal anymore, so it's a much more difficult job.
All right, let's take a question from the theater right over here.
Yes.
Paul Bentley. So what does it feel like now to be more than just a voice?
Well, the main difference is I have to show up. The great thing is you're being able to work with all these incredibly creative and talented people. However, I also now have to show up at junkets, so everything's a double-edged sword.
All right, we have another one here?
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I have a question for Joss. You could talk about Joss Whedon and Ultron and life. It almost seemed like they each embodied Stark's nature, both the good and the bad, Ultron being the bad and the Vision, the best of both natures. Could you talk about that, a little bit about that? Maybe then Mr. Downey could comment.
Yes.
Man, a few words.
A statement. You're right. They do embody a little bit of him, but they're also their own people. But I do see them as two sides of the same coin. I like the sort of accord between the two of them. I think there's something beautiful about the fact that they see the same thing and react to it differently emotionally.
Right back here.
Right, Joss, for you, right over here. Can you talk about what were the biggest challenges that you faced putting together the story and then shooting the film? What were the things that surprised you on your journey?
There's like 47 of these people. I really didn't think that through, and I regret very much doing this at all. It's just making sure that everybody's got their moment, that everybody's got their through line, that it's connected to the movie. I have all these people, I love all these people, they're extraordinary. But making sure that they're not just all being served, but that all within the same narrative structure, that it's they're in the same movie, that it's all connected to the main theme. At some point during the editing process, I could not have told you who they were, who I was, what movie I was making. I got so lost in it. But I think it all came together. And, it's just about making these guys look good, which takes a long time.
For Kevin, first, cool hat. My next question for you is actually, you started with this grand plan almost a decade ago. So what's it meant to you to see it all coming to fruition, working with filmmakers like Joss and the rest of the cast you've had through all your movies? What's that experience been like for you, and to see the world connect with the MCU in such a powerful way?
Well, it's been great, of course. I mean, it started with the notion of making these movies ourselves and becoming Marvel Studios, and then it continued with Robert and Iron Man 1 with the notion of having Sam Jackson come at the end and say, you're part of a bigger universe, you just don't know it yet, thinking that most people wouldn't know what that meant, but occasionally somebody would go, what did that mean? I go, it means maybe that we'll introduce all the different characters and put them together. It'd be great. But the minute that happened, the world sort of got it much, much more quickly than I anticipated, and it was awesome, and it was just, and it continues to be, it's daunting now, because the expectations before were, they didn't exist. They thought, what are they doing? Let's go on to the next thing. And now it's crushingly overwhelming expectations, particularly on this movie. But it's incredible. And it's incredible. Look down the line, the table keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's the greatest ensemble ever assembled in cinematic history. And it is amazing.
Did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
Hi, James Bean, Hypeable.com. This question is for Joss Whedon, the Atlas of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So how do you go about even beginning to start to create the sequel to one of the greatest, largest, most successful movies of all time?
With the smallest thing I can think of, the thing that drew me back to the movie was, what little moments are there between these characters that I haven't gotten to do yet? What conversations have they not had? How can I, what haven't I shown? It's never sort of the big picture stuff. It's never, and then we can have an army of robots, although that's cool too. It's always just, where do they live? Where, how can I get inside their hearts? What's funny about them? Those are the moments I write just reams and reams of paper, just thinking about, the tiniest part. That's really the heart of the thing.
For Elizabeth and Aaron, you guys have worked together before, and the chemistry between the twins is so important for those scenes to have like emotional impact. Was the fact that you guys had worked together previously an advantage, or was that an additional challenge in making their relationship work so well in the film?
I am, it's so far away from each other.
I think it's only a benefit. I mean, Aaron and I had a lot of, we didn't really work that much on Godzilla together, but it's kind of intimidating joining this group, so like, I gotta do it with Aaron by my side.
Yeah, so it was comforting to know, like, stepping on set when it was such a big ensemble and cast that you kind of had someone new to feel comfortable with, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is a question for Robert. We get to see a little sort of part of his side of Tony Stark this time, I think, obviously, his relationship with Tony and Ultron, and also you sort of take care of Hulk, Bruce Banner, like a father, that son. So why are you having that kind of thing in mind when you're playing this role this time?
I must be mellowing with age, but I want to say this very clearly. The next time I'm not asked the first question, I read Joss's script. I said, I think this is great. Now, ask
language.
Kevin. Didn't I say that?
Language.
I said,
language.
Thank you. Yeah, watch it. I said, I think this is great. Kevin said, you never say that. You can't mean that. I said, yeah, I think it's great. Let's go shoot it.
I really thought it was. I thought it was a Swiss watch to begin with, and Joss really created some great new situations for Tony to be in. So, rather than dig in my heels and try to rewrite every scene to make them even better than possible, I just I showed up and it turned out great.
Back here.
Hi, my question is for Mr. Spader. Really enjoyed your performance in the film. Right over here. Really enjoyed your performance in the film, and I was wondering if you could talk about, as an actor, doing the motion capture, and how you were really able to bring life to this killer robot.
I really don't have any idea what was happening. It all happened very quickly. I really was just trying to hold on and stay on the train that was moving very, very quickly. But I will say this, that I arrived in London and within the first half hour, I was, they put on a suit, they put on all this gear, and I'd gone through a range of motion, and then within 15 minutes, I was watching me walk around a big room, moving and doing this and that and everything else, and watching Ultron, or at least a formative stage of Ultron on a monitor in front of me. And it started right there. And the next day, I was on the set shooting a scene with Scarlett. And so really, that pace was what it was through the entire project. And luckily, I'd had some conversations with Joss and one fantastic meal with a whole bunch of wine to figure out who this guy was. That was it. That really was it. It was just trying to hold on.
Over here.
This question is for Robert, James, and Chris Hemsworth. My question is, growing up, who was your favorite superhero and why?
I'll take this one. Superman was probably the only film that made, I think, back when I was growing up. And the only, that was the one that sticks out for me that wasn't really. And Iron Man hadn't been created yet. Or Captain America. Or Hulk. Or Black Widow. Or Vision. Everyone was sad.
So had Captain America been.
Would have been clearly my favorite. Batman, Captain Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of neck and neck.
Growing up, I didn't have any comic books at all, and but my friend Will Bronis had a trunk full of them, and so comic books were like candy for me. I'd go over to his house for a sleepover, and I would be just devouring everything I could get my hands on. I don't even know if this question was to me, was it?
Chris,
it doesn't matter, does it? Because no one else jumped to the mic, so I don't get it. Anyway, I just devoured everything, anything. And, from...
Is this press conference going very quickly for you right now?
Yes. 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 Anyway, I just devoured whatever I could get my hands on because the sleepover was going to be over and I was going to go back to my house and it was going to be, Kipling.
Jeremy, this one's for you. There were a lot of Hawkeye fans that felt a little shortchanged, actually, in the first Avengers because one of their favorite heroes wasn't focused on as much as they would have liked, but we see a much greater emphasis on Barton in this particular film. Talk a little bit about what you were hoping to see Barton evolve into in this film and your first reactions when you read the script and you saw the role he was going to play in this one.
I'm assuming, have we seen the movie?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I feel like I can't talk about it. I feel like I'm going to get shot. I speak in this movie, which is awesome. And then become part of the team, which is awesome. And dive into some really killer aspects when sitting down with Joss and Kevin back in the day about why I liked and why I wanted to play Hawkeye, because I didn't understand. I could never do like what these gentlemen do. I don't have that creative of a mind. I understood Hawkeye in the sense of he's a human, he's a high school set, so I can tap into that. And I feel like I got to explore a little bit more of that on even outside the skill set. And I thought that was a really, really endearing and thoughtful sort of secret that he had. And I'm excited to kind of see where that goes.
Thank you. Back here.
Well said.
This question's for Josh and for Kevin. How much impact did this movie have on like Phase 2 lead up? So like Iron Man 3, Thor 2, Cap 2, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm sorry. How much impact?
So like did you like say we can do this in Captain America 2, but you can't do this, or this is how it'll affect the Avengers, or something like that.
A lot of those were already in the works. I mean, Iron Man 3 and Cap 2 and Thor 2. were already in the works just as Avengers was coming out. I would say it was more about how those movies were impacted by the first Avengers film. But I will say I remember as we were putting the other Phase 2 movies together, Joss very much liked the idea, and we honed in on that for that Hulk and Hawkeye would be two characters that hadn't, you know, gotten much exposure in between the movies, so that he, because he said he had very big plans for the two of those characters in this one. Other than that, though, Joss,
Only thing I can think of is pulling the Thanos out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's true, actually. There was going to be more Thanos, yeah.
And it was like, no, we need to thread him in more gently. But that was pretty much it.
And I just want to ask everybody to throw in for a second, ask everybody that once we are done with the press conference, we're going to ask everybody to please remain in your seats for a few moments once the press conference is wrapped. Scarlett.
What?
What?
Would you mind staying in your seat too, Scarlett?
Yes, what?
Huh? We've seen Black Widow not only evolve depth-wise, but we see her role getting larger and larger as the cinematic universe progresses to the point that we see her play such a significant role in Age of Ultron. Talk a little bit about where you see Black Widow even going from here once we get to the end of this film.
Oh, my goodness. I think that at the end of, you know, in the beginning of Avengers 2, I'm not going to get shot, am I? No. Okay.
Do you want me to take this one?
Is this press conference going really slowly? How about no? I think that she, you know, in the beginning of Avengers 2, you know, this kind of, there's some sense, finally, of there being a kind of normal, in a way. I mean, it's a well-oiled machine where, you know, tag-teaming each other. It's finally, like, the introductions are over and we're, you know, everything's kind of, you know, we're at work, like, we're digging our heels in. And at the end of Avengers 2, I think Widow is, you know, she let her guard down. She was hopeful for something. I think she had this moment of false hope where she kind of felt like, you know, she kind of put in the work and, you know, there should be some kind of personal payoff, and she was ready to accept it. And, you know, she realizes that, you know, her calling is a greater one, and that's not necessarily something that she's thrilled about, but, like, it, you know, that's kind of what is most heroic about her, is that she's, you know, accepting the call of duty, even at her, you know, own personal loss. And I think it's an interesting place to kind of leave her there, because, you know, there's many different directions to go. I mean, is she going to be able to withstand this huge weight that's bearing down on her, or is she going to crack under it and, you know, and sort of crumble, you know, not being able to take this huge hit, this huge personal hit that she does. But I guess we'll have to wait and see, right? Yeah. There you go. I'm done. What are you talking about?
Scarlett, this is for you as well. Hi.
What?
Can you talk a bit about the physical preparation that went into the role, and were you a proficient motorcycle rider already?
I don't think you're allowed to ride a motorcycle when you're so pregnant. But I did. I did all of the motorcycle. I embarrassingly rode some sort of a mechanical bull type of motorcycle, which goes nowhere and doesn't look cool at all. We had some very professional and amazing motocross work being done that makes Black Widow look like a total badass. And I will say, you know, I'm very fortunate that there's a team around me that is super supportive in helping all of Widow's fight moves and badass motorcycle riding happen. Could not do that without that part of it, you know, kind of starting a move and then finishing a move, and, you know, all that work being seamless is, you know, takes a lot of choreography and team spirit. So, you know, it's like every film is exciting because I get new tools and new fun, cool stuff to do. And luckily, Joss writes me some badass moves that, you know, that make me look just, you know, epic, and it's awesome. I just said epic, awesome, and badass all in one sentence. I'm done now.
This one's for Mark. Mark, one of the great things about Dr. Banner is that we see so much of Dr. Banner in Hulk, but yet you find a way to make Dr. Banner feel like such a distinct character from the Hulk at the same time. Talk a little bit about Banner's evolution in this film and the Dr. Banner you wanted audiences of Age of Ultron to see.
I was helped out by the fact that I'm green and huge to help me with the distinction between the two characters. I can't take full credit for that, except for the accent that I was using, maybe. I'm done.
All right, we're gonna take one more. We're gonna take one more. Right here.
Hello. This question is for Joss. It's the nerd question of the day. Why is the armor designed to contain the Hulk called Veronica?
I just decided to call it Veronica because he used to be in love with a woman named Betty, and Veronica is the opposite of that.
I was always wondering that, but I thought I'd be breaking some Marvel taboo by asking it.
You know, that's
we have a Marvel app on our iPhones, and if you say something wrong, it literally shocks you.
Did you get a shock just now? You're not supposed to talk about that.
My publicist has it. She got the shock.
I will thank you all for joining us today, for answering everybody's questions. Congratulations on the film. It's absolutely marvelous. And everybody, please remain in your seats. We have a very good reason for that.
All right. Okay, we wait.
We can do that.